Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hello.
We're finally in the final week.
We made
of
it.
Of Sports Go Sports Month.
Sports Go Sports.
Which is Guido's pick.
Sorry. I guess, no, we'll go back to spooky dipshit next month.
No, I'm not saying it because of that. I'm saying it because it took us so long to record.
All right,
well, I'm not making fun of the theme.
I apologize.
A few extenuating circumstances.
There were extenuating circumstances.
But,
yeah.
Sports ball.
But we'll,
no, I thought this was a good theme.
But we will, you know, hear Guido's pick and talk about it and his drink, and then we'll vote at the end of our favorite movies of the month. But before we get to that. I did my second annual Scream franchise rewatch.
Oh.
How many are there now?
There are six.
Like, congratulations.
Do you, do you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah,
or
I go.
Is there like a...
There's not It's not like Star Wars. You don't have to do like 4, 5, 6 and then 1, 2, like you don't have to do that. And it was great and I loved it. And then I gave my ranking at the end. And
yeah.
I was pretty happy with it.
Okay. So.
Matt, I heard you actually caught quite a bit of this. How much did you watch?
Oh, not a lot.
I watched 10 minutes of the end of the first one.
Uh-huh.
I watched the second one, then I watched the third one, then I went and laid out in the street.
Yep.
I didn't see, I think Allie was laying out in the street yesterday. I didn't see you laying out in the street.
Well, no, no. Explains all the human-sized chalk outlines out there.
She was laying in the cul-de-sac. I was trying to get hit by traffic.
No, it was great. You know, I love Scream, and so my official ranking is original. It's just always going to be fabulous. Controversial take. Scream 6 is my second favorite Scream movie. Not a lot of people.
Scream 6?
Yes.
We had to get six more.
Five more
to get to your next favorite.
I loved it.
Establish a pattern.
It has the second greatest opening kill in the Scream franchise. You guys would like it. There's guns. There are never guns, really, in Scream movies. It's usually always stabs.
Hold on. Do they kill Drew Barrymore again?
Guns in the first one.
Yeah, but you get the final headshot and the kill in the headshot. That's pretty much it.
The gun, there was like a whole gun kata scene from Equilibrium in the second one. They're all flying around shooting at one another while like doing karate moves and shit.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know what you were watching.
Are you sure it wasn't Equilibrium?
I was sitting on the same couch as you watching that movie.
Okay.
I don't know how many of those movies, I haven't seen them in so long. I should do that.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, like I said, Scream 6 doesn't have Drew Barrymore in it, but it does have Samara Weaving in it, and she's the opening kill in the first 10 minutes, and it's fabulous.
You love Samara Weaving.
I do. I'm so obsessed with her. Then Scream 2. I think the sequel is quite good. Then Scream 3, which is campy as fuck, but so fun.
You love a campy movie.
I know. And then I went Scream 5 and then Scream 4.
She only likes campy movies of stuff that she already has liked. Like, I kept saying, I'm like, hey, why don't we take a break from this? Why don't we watch a campy horror movie that I like? Why don't we watch House?
Okay.
And no, that's dumb.
Yeah, because I was in the middle of my rewatch.
It's a marathon.
It's a marathon.
You can't interrupt.
I'm not going to take a break to watch a weird Japanese horror movie with pineapple,
dude,
or watermelon people.
You watch an Indiana Jones marathon.
Yeah,
you don't stop.
People.
No, you do stop when you watch an Indiana Jones marathon. You watch the first one, you watch the Temple of Doom, you watch The Last Crusade, and then you're done.
And then you're done. Yeah.
Wait, there's only three movies. So what,
agreed.
Like, yeah, there's only three.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's like there should only be three of these movies, too.
That's not true. Oof. Don't agree with that. Scream.
No, I started watching that fourth one, and I purposely fell asleep.
Sorry.
You put yourself to sleep?
Yeah, I was just like, I'm out.
Yeah, the fourth one is my least favorite, but that's just because the killer in it sucks. I hate the killer. The one killer.
I want to do that with Saw.
I don't know if I could do Saw. I've only ever seen the first two, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been a huge Saw person.
No, I'm surprised you said Saw. Why didn't you just, you know, do Child's Play? You were so obsessed
with
those.
She would fucking hate that movie.
How am I obsessed when I've just done one?
Yeah.
That's one more than I would.
I like Bride of Chucky.
Yeah, just one.
Just one.
Yeah. Well, Guido, tell us about your pick. I don't have a segue, so.
Hit it.
Speaking of costumes.
Speaking of.
Costumes.
Things with hearts that could get cut
Detroit.
Out. I don't know.
Speaking of six, you only need four games out of six to make the playoffs in this movie.
Oh, God.
There we go.
All right.
So, for your entertainment and your pleasure, I chose The Replacements.
Players' strike became official at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. we're going to finish the season anyway. We're going to use replacement players.
They've all played football somewhere. Not all of them in the pros, but they all have something unique to bring to the game.
Hey, Scab!
I don't want trouble.
One, two, three!
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Falco, you're not even a has-been. You're a never-was!
I'm going to take those people and try to put together a winning team. Nothing else. They should be fun to watch.
It came out in 2000 and was directed by Howard Deutsch. And
Howie.
You'll remember, he did Pretty in Pink and Grumpy Old Men, so.
I was going to say he's married to Leah Thompson.
Oh, really?
He's Zoe Deutsch's dad from, like, Zombieland 2. She's like the, okay. She's, what's her name, like Savannah or something like that? I can't think of her name in it.
Something stupid.
Yeah.
No one responded to my text. Did any of you see The Wrath of Becky?
No.
No.
What is that?
Generally, I try to avoid movies that have Kevin James in them.
All right.
Oh, Kevin James is in it? Yeah. I didn't even look it up.
Kevin James is not, no.
I'm pretty sure he's in one, they've made that into a franchise. And
no.
He's in
it's got a guy that looks like a Skarsgård, for one. He looks like a young guy. But no, it's got Stifler. And
okay.
He plays a really decent bad guy. And the young lady in it, it's grotesque. It's a lot of blood and guts. A guy eats a grenade. It's a revenge movie, and it's a woman forward, and she's super fierce, and I really think you're going to fucking love it.
Never even heard of this movie.
Don't sleep on it. It's a fucking hidden gem. I promise you, watch it today. It's awesome. It is a blood fest.
Speaking of blood, what is your drink called?
Okay, so...
Speaking of blood.
It's not red for people that can't see. Just so you know.
It's wet.
It's wet and it's cold. The movie's name is The Replacement. So I made you a gin and tonic, but I replaced the gin with some top tier vodka. And I put a dash of triple sec in there. It's a V&T. Is it terrible?
It's whitey.
It's fine.
It's probably another name. It's another drink. We just don't know the name of it.
Yeah, it's a vodka tonic.
Yeah, vodka tonic.
Yeah.
I've made for you a vodka. This is
it's a vodka tonic with lime.
This is definitely already a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's delicious. Thank you.
Listen, if you ask John and Heather, I have a long history of creating things that were definitely already a thing. I think I created Etsy.
You did?
You did. According to John and Heather, you created... Yeah. You. Think that you created Etsy.
Interesting.
I originated the idea after it was created.
Yeah, so you're basically Seth Rogen in Knocked Up when he thought he was creating what really was Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin.
Yeah, I really thought I was onto something.
In your defense, you did create an app in college. You had a marketing class. And there was a blackboard assignment, and you made an app, an idea for an app, where you said it would be cool if you could schedule a time to go to the doctor so that you didn't have to wait in the waiting room. And that didn't exist at the time, and I thought you were stupid. Because doctors were like, well, then patients would never show up because...
Then charge
then
them money.
Their time was wasted. But in all actuality, it was very convenient and people would show up.
I'd like it.
See, my brain works sometimes.
They do that with urgent care.
Half the time, we're just, again, waiting.
Have you all seen The Replacements before?
Oh, right.
Tanner, yeah. What did you think?
I have seen it.
Yeah, yeah. Because you've got miles of heart. Matt?
Oh, yeah. I totally have seen this movie. I love this movie. Honestly, if I didn't go with Major League, I was probably going to pick this movie.
If you had a Gene Hackman fan club, what would a member be called?
A Hackmanite?
A hack person?
Hackman Hoosier? A Gene guy?
A Gene guy?
Ooh.
A Hackman?
A Hackmanrovian.
That's a goodie.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Manrovian.
Allie, how long did you grumble when you heard me say
a long
this movie
time? A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was.
How Matt feels about Scream is how I feel about this movie.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, what's beautiful about this movie is there's only one of them, not six, and another one on the way.
You know what, Matt?
There is another one on the way.
This movie is beautiful. Okay, and it should invoke some of the, you know, the better aspects of professional sports in your mind. So again, this movie came out in 2000. It has a great cast, including the late great Hackman and the even greater
he had
and
a wicked still alive death.
Keanu.
Yes.
Gene Hackman had a wicked death.
Yes.
It was horrifying.
Great. Fuck you, Matthew Perry. Keanu's still alive.
It has a Brooke Langton, who was in 68 episodes of Melrose Place, and Orlando Jones from 7-Up commercials. Langston Fison.
Wait, you're not going to let him just go with that? You're not going to bring up...
What, that he was in an episode of SVU?
No.
Oh.
The movie that Orlando Jones was in.
Oh, Evolution. Yes. What are you talking about here?
There's always time for Evolution.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
Tookie, tookie. Langston Fison, the six-inch curl Nazi from Elf.
I've never seen Elf, so...
What? Well,
you've committed movie crime.
No.
She really hasn't.
She doesn't like Will Ferrell.
Don't let Will Ferrell ruin it for you.
No, I like Will Ferrell. I just don't like those movies. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to ruin your life if you don't see it.
I don't think so.
Here's someone you don't like.
It's a cult classic.
Jon Favreau, who directed Iron Man, which featured a scene he wrote where Scarlett Johansson puts his head in a leg lock. Absolute legend.
Well, that was the second Iron Man.
Something I remember. It's one of my main takeaways.
He also, you know, created Mando.
I'm so jealous.
Oh, God. Remember that movie Swingers?
Yes.
I try not
to. It's one of the cringiest.
That was a
cringiest movies good, you'll ever watch in your entire life.
Very cringy.
Worst thing I've ever seen.
But Maid was good.
Seen Guy Fieri.
Maid was good.
Oh, I also like that other one, Very Bad Things. People don't like Very Bad Things. I love that movie. Yes, Christian Slater is in it. That
David Denman, the guy that tried to wife up Pam on The Office, is here. And John Madden has a good time on set as well. So many more of that guys.
They got the official duo. They got John Madden and Pat Summerall in that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. In the room, drawn on screens. This movie is loosely based on the 1987 NFL strike where the teams were forced to field replacement teams the first three games of the season. So the Redskins won all three of theirs and went on to beat Denver in the Super Bowl 42-10. It's worth noting that the New York Giants lost all of theirs and missed the playoffs. Fuck the Giants. So
fuck the Giants.
Fuck the Giants. So a professional football league is hit with a player strike with four games left in the season because the NFL are litigious fucks and the Washington Sentinels owner, Edward O'Neill, calls a former head coach of his, Jimmy McGinty. That's Hackman.
Jimmy McGinty. McGinty is the type of guy who's going to do crazy stuff out there.
John Madden's with us. Madden's ghost is with us.
His clothes.
I can't.
What, too much tweed for you?
I can't.
He's supposed to...
He's a tweed guy.
He's supposed to invoke the classic football coach look.
I know.
Like your Tom Landry, your Vince Lombardi.
It's so true. Like
Bear Bryant. It's Bear Bryant.
Like Keanu Reeves is swimming and he's wearing wool sweaters.
He has so many layers
with,
on.
Like undershirts.
Well.
With collared shirts with wool sweaters on top of that. With a jacket.
It's wild.
With slacks.
I mean, also.
He's old. I get it.
Yeah.
He's on blood thinners.
Old and cold.
He's probably on blood thinners.
Kumanin's probably in play here, but.
It is 2000. This movie's 25 years old, so he's probably on Kumanin. You're right.
Oh my gosh. So,
That
was like the only blood center back then.
He tells him that the league's going to finish the regular season with replacement players and asks McGinty to return to coach Sentinels the rest of the season, adding that winning three of the last four games will get the Sentinels into the playoffs. So McGinty accepts on the condition that he can sign the players that he wants without O'Neill's interference.
I get to run things my way. And you know one thing I gotta do.
So these guys aren't related in real life?
No.
Because they
no.
look like a father-son duo.
No.
No, they look like Statler
they
and
look
Waldorf
fucking related,
they were
bro.
Human.
All right, well.
The owner's the grandfather, or the friend from While You Were Sleeping, that Sandra Bullock movie.
Yeah, he's also John Ritter's dad in Problem Child.
Oh, he is John Ritter's dad in Problem Child. That's right.
And he's in that Kurt Russell movie, Used Cars.
Kyle loves that movie.
Yeah, if I didn't reference that at all, I know I'd get, like, after this episode comes out, Kyle would be like, he's also in Used Cars.
With Kurt Russell.
With Kurt Russell. Hilarious movie.
He loves that movie.
It is pretty funny, though.
McGinty pulls together players of varying talents who he believes can make entertaining, if not winning, teams. So for quarterback, McGinty chooses Shane Falco.
Shane Falco?
Yes,
Shane
hold on.
Falco.
a former All-American from Ohio State whose career went to pieces after a lopsided Sugar Bowl loss. He now lives on a houseboat in Washington, D.C.
Wait, you're talking about Footsteps Falco?
Yep.
From the Sugar Bowl.
All right. From the Buckeyes. I'm just going to skip there. So I pieced together all of the details of the Sugar Bowl debacle mentioned throughout the movie, and I was able to recreate the highlights of that legendary loss. But here's just the fourth quarter. Are you ready?
Oh, God.
Okay. So.
Don't mention quicksand.
Should I do it in my... The game has been an absolute disaster for Ohio State up until now.
No, do it.
Both teams have been playing somewhat evenly through three quarters, with Ohio State's only points coming from a few... there's a lot of this. I'm not doing this for that long. Fuck that. So, with Ohio State's only points coming from a field goal early in the second quarter. But despite the 3-3 score, Ohio State has been reeling. Falco has thrown three interceptions, and the defense has been on his heels all game.
What the fuck?
I know. The fourth quarter starts with Ohio State on offense. But on the first play of the first drive, Florida's defense finally breaks through. They blitz hard. Falco is sacked for a 10-yard loss. That sets the tone. The offensive line can't protect him, and the pressure is mounting. Falco tries to force a pass to his wide receiver on a double coverage situation. Florida intercepts the ball again. This time it's returned for a pick six.
Wow.
Oof. The score is now 10-3, Florida. The very next possession, Falco tries to rally his team.
Get it together, guys. You're breathtaking.
But he's under siege.
Get it together, guys. You're breathtaking.
On a critical 3rd-and-7, Falco attempts a deep pass to the sideline, but the throw is way off. Florida cornerback intercepts again, returns it 50 yards for another pick six. The score now jumps 17-3 Florida in just 3 minutes. This is starting to sound like the Broncos. Florida has gone from 3-3 to 17-3. 10:30 left in the fourth. The Florida offense gets the ball. And now the game is starting to feel like a clinic. The quarterback, relaxed and calm, goes into full no-huddle mode. The Ohio State defense is exhausted, beaten, and now just trying to survive. On the first play, Florida's running back rips off a 35-yard run, completely outrunning the linebackers in secondary. Ohio State defense doesn't even look like it's trying anymore. Florida punches it in for another touchdown. The score now sits 24-3. 8 minutes left. Falco is visibly rattled. The camera shows him sitting on the sideline, completely dejected, as a scoreboard reflects a 34-3 after another Florida field goal. 2 minutes left. With the score now 48-3.
Oh my God.
What?
Oh, you don't want me to skip that? Okay.
This is a terrible.
Well, no. Here we go. That's what they said. He's like, didn't you lose so, like 40 to...
Well, I'll back it
like
up.
40, 45.
The next drive starts with Ohio State at their 20-yard line. Falco desperately tries to lead a comeback, but the pressure from Florida's defense is relentless. A 3rd-and-10, he's forced to scramble. He gets hit hard from behind and fumbles the ball. Florida recovers at Ohio State's 18-yard line.
His offensive line should be shot. They should be lined up and shot. How many times was he sacked?
In some black leather boots, Tammy. So,
how many times was he sacked that game?
I think he said like 6 or 7 times.
Maybe a leather
That's
tester.
Wild, Red don't you band. Think?
Yeah, yes.
From a safety standpoint, as well as a point standpoint, I'm surprised that Falco was not pulled.
Yeah,
agreed.
Well, agree. Yeah, same.
But you know, hey, winners want the ball.
They should have pulled him like second quarter.
Winners yeah. always want the ball.
I mean, it's not looking good. I mean,
like coach made some mistakes.
Yikes, guys.
Sugar Bowl.
So, who else do we have on the scab roster? I mean, or I'm sorry, the replacement players list?
Ooh, the sumo gentleman.
Somebody who killed somebody.
Yeah, the guy in jail. Oh,
wow. So we got Footsteps Falco.
The priest.
You should have ended with Footsteps Falco.
The roommate from Notting Hill.
There's a priest.
So there's a montage here where McGinty is... choosing his motley crew and convincing his coaching staff about each one. There's
Pretty
a sumo
blue
wrestler
eyes, man.
Who pushes. There's a soccer guy who kicks.
He's
a deaf guy who can catch but
the
can't
pretty
hear.
Blue eyes, man.
Fast guy can't catch. Offensive lineman are gangsta twins. Wide receiver
Ooh, I like the gangsta
that is fast
twins.
And can catch but is a felon. Defensive linebacker is a maniacal war criminal. And there's a priest with a bum knee.
Mm.
mm-hmm. priest?
You know, he's the one that like holds the Bible up and
he's
drinking.
He's the quad pro quo alum.
Yeah, he's from John
from
Q.
From John Q.
Remember, he's always sitting there. He's got this Bible up when they're like throwing shit at him.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
he's drinking milk in the bar.
Right.
He's like, I just want to score one touchdown before I hang up my cleats.
Oh, wow. Well, there was something in there about him earning his name for footsteps, but we skipped over it. So the striking players greet the replacement players at their first practice with hostility, calling them scabs and throwing eggs at them.
I like how the quarterback, what's his name? Martell?
Yeah.
You mean the 50-year-old?
Ew.
Yeah, I like how he makes, like, they were, like, way off the mark with aged quarterbacks.
Yeah, that because, I looks, mean...
That guy looks even older than both Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers combined.
And
on
they're
Thursday
old.
Night. And those two are just 41 and 40.
And they're old, though. Really old.
Falco arrives late, gets his truck overturned. He doesn't mind. He just...
It's a little pickup truck.
Locks it in and moves on. Martell zings him with the, hey, Falco, you're not even a has-been. You're a never-was.
Oh, so sick burn, bro.
Which is also from Major League.
Head cheerleader, Annabelle Farrell, who has to find new cheerleaders since the originals apparently walked out.
Wait, they went on strike too?
Yep,
they
in sure sympathy did. With the players.
I thought it was because they probably only got paid like $25 a game.
It's that's 50 bucks true. A game. You know, she hires strippers when the other tryouts go badly. I mean...
Oh, these tryouts
there's some
so
C and
great.
D team applicants, but get an A in enthusiasm and tits.
Texas Twitter.
I can't.
California oranges, Texas
but,
cactus.
But the strippers here are really clutch. I mean, Cinnamon and Chastity get some of their coworkers to show up. It's just a...
I appreciate the tryouts because I was a cheerleader.
Well...
I like the one that's like, hey, ho, ho.
Yeah. I like the one that says she's going to slash them all over town.
After practice, Annabelle drives Falco home much faster than any Jeep Wrangler has ever been driven and surprises him with her vast football knowledge.
Also, how is she able to maneuver around like that with DC traffic?
Don't worry, though. She doesn't date football players. She has standards. Only highlight players because she's into drunken, degenerate gamblers only.
Yes, from the bar that she works at.
The replacement's first game is against Detroit.
Detroit. Is my dad here?
And the team struggles to get along. They throw up on each other because Sumo Man is stuffed with hard-boiled eggs. Falco tries to rally them, but on the last play, he falters when he sees a pending blitz cause an audible, which falls short of the winning touchdown. So...
I can eat 20.
No, you can,
no,
dude.
You can.
You really
I can.
Can.
Halves? So 10?
I don't think so. I can eat 20.
20 whole deviled eggs.
Can
hard boiled.
Can you, like, make
not
sure...
even deviled. Hard boiled.
Can you make
not
sure
in my
that,
house, you
like,
don't.
We're either at her parents' house up in Chester Springs or if we're down at their beach house? Because
yeah.
I don't want to be in the same cul-de-sac as that burner over
yeah.
there if you're going to eat 20 hard
do we
boiled
have? Do we have... 20 eggs right now.
20 hard-boiled eggs? No.
I can hard-boil them.
We don't have 20 eggs.
I could do it tonight.
We have.
You
like,
want 20
why
eggs?
Why do you want to do it? I don't understand why.
You want 20 eggs
I don't know. Just to say
economy?
I did. I could make it my fun fact.
How long do you have to eat them?
Well, that's a question, isn't it?
Well, we could reference cool.
You have a whole year. Moving on.
Yeah, there you go. You 20 hard-boiled eggs in a year.
That's not fair. That's not the challenge.
Yeah, it is.
That's my fun fact. Every time I onboard a new group, I try to have a new fun fact about myself.
I don't think you should tell anybody if you actually do it, though.
Keep that to yourself.
Why?
It's just odd.
Yeah, you know what? Open up the next conversation with that and see what happens.
Really?
People are going to think it's weird.
Why?
Really weird. Because it's weird.
I don't care.
Okay.
Hi,
I care.
Hi, Rebecca. Tammy. Something about me? Glad you asked. I can eat a literal shit ton of boiled eggs.
I ate 20 eggs, and I basically committed a war crime in my house.
Oh my gosh. So gross.
My poop melted the enamel off the toilet.
My husband now calls me Bashar al-Assad.
Oh, God.
Because of my gas.
Once, I got arrested for saying I blew up the bathroom in a public space, but it had nothing to do with a bomb.
And then she's just going to be like, my beef strong.
Your no, beef wrong.
Your beef wrong, Kim Asabe.
So, McGinty says, winners always want the ball when
winners
the game's
want the
on
ball
the line.
When the game's on the line.
at a local bar. The replacements are brooding over their loss when some of the striking players, led by their prima donna quarterback, Eddie Martell, arrive and taunt them. Falco stands up to Martell. After he makes fun of the deaf guy, a brawl ensues. No, he's an asshole.
Yeah, that's not nice.
The replacements are arrested, and in jail they bond, dancing together to I Will Survive in their cell before McGinty bails him out.
I would have loved to have seen Martell's face when you punched him, really.
It was a beautiful scene of bonding. All Motley Crue getting together. So nice.
It fills you with feel goodness. It was a great scene.
Is it the next day that the twins shoot Martell's Porsche when he flips over?
Son of a bitch. Farrell meets Falco the next day and tells him that he's the first quarterback she's seen in a long time who cares more for his teammates than himself, and a connection starts to grow between them with this penis. Annabelle gives some Tiger Balm to Shane and invites him to her bar. Isn't that nice? The next day, the striking shitbags try to hassle Shane again, but his O-line come out and discharge a firearm for him. They use a Glock on a Porsche 911 to really drive home the message. In the team meeting, when McGinty asks the players what their fears are, they begin to realize...
Spiders?
I am scared of spiders.
Bees?
Is anyone Bugs. Scared of something that isn't an insect?
Quicksand.
I hate this. This scene is awkward, Allie. I agree with you.
To be fair, we were raised to really be scared of quicksand, but you know, you never have an issue with it. But
I thought that I would be dealing with quicksand a lot more.
More than we ever have.
Yeah,
it was always in the movies.
It was in the Princess Bride.
You just got to make sure you have your foot on the rail.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles. That's like wet quicksand in that movie, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
The Mummy.
This is true.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hackman McGinty inspires the team to use their shared fear as a source of strength. In the Sentinels' next game against San Diego, they fall behind again, but are able to come together and rally after a 65-yard field goal by their Welsh kicker, Nigel.
Did you hear what I did to help Shannon with her fear of spiders?
No.
Please tell us.
I may have, help with spiders is to expose someone to their fear.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, so I may have planted some spiders in her bedroom.
Oh, like little fake ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be annoying.
It's funny because I've been trapping wolf spiders in our house for months and releasing them into her house every time I go.
You're so full of baloney.
I have Tupperwares full of spiders.
You're so full.
Do you want to see them?
No.
Yeah, I do.
I will bring them
over
here.
Yeah, I do.
I'll bring them right over here. Hold on a second.
No,
you're
really
not bringing
them
over here. You're not bringing
them
over here. No, you're not bringing them over here because I'm not dealing with that.
How am I going to show you?
You can.
By that, he means me.
I'm looking out for you. What?
No, you're not. You're looking out for yourself.
It's not true. Pussies. It's not true. Now, if you said mice in the garage, it would be true.
Good game.
Didn't they also get didn't the stripper cheerleaders help them out with that win?
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah. Because they.
Yeah, yeah, that comes up. So this is, we're kind of like.
They slapped each other's hineys.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a montage here. Falco nails the guy in the face, and the rebound is caught by Sumo Man and is run in for a touchdown, which gives us a fat guy spike and a fat guy dance.
That's what I love when a fat guy scores. You get a fat guy spike and a fat guy dance. Boom!
Got some bad makeup, but great thighs in the cheerleading squad. Very distracting. The one girl slapped the other girl on the ass, Jimmy. Stripper's gonna strip.
To Bad Girls by Donna Summer.
Bad Girls.
Great song.
They love Donna Summer's in this movie.
What happened to the Pussycat Dolls?
Singer just won a Tony.
Nice.
Yeah.
Falco meets Annabelle at the bar she inherited from her father and now runs. After a short conversation about and a beer, they share a deep, passionate 2000s kiss. And do they bang on the sticky, stale, beer-soaked floor?
To the voiceover of
I think
of
they do
John
it on
Matt.
The on the bar.
On John the bar Matt. Top, her back is definitely sticking
but
to the
bar.
But
he almost chickened out. He almost left.
I thought he didn't even show up.
No, he didn't.
That was later.
That's later.
Oh, that's later.
Well, they're going to have the romantic dinner instead of the fuck.
Oh, then they probably didn't fuck.
They were
going to
eat spaghetti, but it was like one big
they
noodle.
They kissed, though.
I don't think they fucked then.
You don't think they fucked?
No.
Okay.
Nah, you think he's a gentleman?
That wasn't a post-coital dinner? that they planned?
No, probably what happened was she bet him that she could eat 20 hard-boiled eggs.
Ew.
And he was like, I'm not touching
that. He said, with your ass?
He was like, red flag.
He's where
like,
do they go? You just...
No!
Just keep putting them in there.
He was like, the next time. The next time, I'll bend you over this bar. And she's like, the next time, I'll eat the eggs.
No! That is not excellent.
So gross.
He pumps her leg and she's just firing them out. You know what I mean? Like a cannon. Pull. Funk.
Maybe she eats them whole.
Hey, that's a Paul Newman.
Pull!
Man. Well, yeah, you don't want to like... You know, get tired from the chewing.
The Sentinels,
that's right.
The Sentinels nearly lose their next game on the road against Phoenix, but win a couple of improbable plays. They win on a couple of improbable plays.
You mean illegal plays because Clifford Franklin is covered in stick'em.
Yeah, one uses stick'em. That's an old Jerry Rice secret. And John Madden is having a ball calling these plays.
These are great. See, call. This is a great thing to do here.
I feel like you sound like...
Jeff Bridges?
No, James Gum.
Doing my best to be.
Oh, James Gum.
James Gum.
James Gum.
Yeah, she's a great big fat person. It's like the same voice.
Yeah.
Don't kinda. You think?
About yeah. Size 14.
She's a about size 14.
James Gum.
James Gum.
You hurt my fucking dog, lady.
You're Steve Madden and you're James Gum.
Steve Madden. John you're Madden.
John Madden.
You're going off the rails, folks.
Shit. All right.
You know what I mean. John Madden.
All right, reel it in. So when they return to D.C., O'Neill tells McGinty that Martellus crossed the picket line and has the entire Dallas team. So the league's defending champion and the Sentinels' next opponent. O'Neill shows no confidence in Falco's ability to beat Dallas and hints to McGinty that he could be fired if he refuses to start Martell. Reneging on the promise he'd given to McGinty to not interfere. So it was over a star quarterback that got him fired the first time. So this issue is a little personal. But he gives in and tells Falco and says that he has the heart Martell lacks. At the bar...
Miles and miles of heart.
Well, yes. He has the most miles. Many miles. At the bar, the deaf guy gets his dick sucked without trying, and the leg shows his weird cock to all the bar skags. Falco then gives his teammates the bad news, and while disheartened, they give him a farewell toast. Falco is too bummed out to fuck, so he stands Annabelle up for the date.
Not cool.
Not cool.
They were going to do the Lady and the Tramp thing and kiss while eating spaghetti.
She was waiting for Godot.
Do you think they would have had spaghetti?
Yeah. Nah, they probably would have had, like, crabs or something, because it's in Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, Annabelle has crabs.
Somebody has crabs in this movie.
So, in the first half of the Dallas game, Martell clashes severely with the replacement players, blames them for his own mistakes, smugly ignores McGinty's play calls. Shane watches the game on his 9-inch tube TV in his boat. The Sentinels trail Dallas 17-0 at half. On the way to the locker room, McGinty tells a TV reporter that what the team needs to come back and win is...
Heart. Miles and miles of heart.
That's right, Matt. Seeing this on his tiny little television, Falco returns to the stadium and McGinty...
Again! DC traffic!
Impossible.
It is really hard.
But he is the star quarterback in a Hollywood movie, bro.
Are you thinking that maybe he just flew there because of The Matrix?
Yes.
Because he is the one.
Mm. Are you saying that I could dodge bullets?
You know, this is the first movie he did after The Matrix.
I know.
Do you know that's so true?
It's awesome.
It is true.
You know that's true?
I do.
You look this up? You just...
No, oh, no. I actually watched... I listened to The New Heights.
Yeah.
And he said it on there. I like The New Heights podcast.
Is that the Kelsey Brothers?
The Kelsey Brothers.
Okay.
It talks about sports go sports.
The rest of the team throws Martell out of the locker room. In a deleted scene I found, Coach gives a speech to the team, and it really adds some context to his earlier famous quote from where he says, so in the locker room, he says, listen up, guys, I've coached a lot of players in my day, and some had the size, the speed, the skill, but you know what? There was a kid I coached once, Daniel Eugene Rudiger. You may remember him as Rudy. He was half the size of any player on the field.
Jesus Christ.
Had none of the natural gifts. But I'll tell you this, that kid had miles and miles of heart.
Aww.
And he never stopped. He never stopped never stopping. And he never stopped working. And he never stopped believing. And he never stopped eating all of the Lembas bread. And that's what it takes. It takes heart, fellas. It doesn't matter what the scoreboard says or how fast you run. If you've got heart like Rudy, You're already winning.
It would have been, Rudy was a good movie.
It would have been
perfect. Only ever seen it one time.
It would have been perfect if you had an Encino Man reference in there.
Is he in that movie?
Yeah, is Sean Astin in
Encino? No. Is Hackman in Rudy? No.
He's in Hoosiers.
I know he's in Hoosiers.
That's a basketball movie.
All right.
Yeah.
He's also in a lot of sports movies.
Almost done. Back on the field, Falco finds Annabelle and apologizes to her, giving her another smooch. Keanu's smooch is good.
All he has to do is look at her, and she's like, she melts.
Dripping.
Yeah, there was already a mud puddle right underneath there when she saw him.
McGinty tells the replacements that the strike will officially end the next day, encouraging them to give everything they have left. First play is aggravated assault on every member of the opposing team, resulting in a 70-yard penalty. The Sentinels rally back to 17-14 with less than a minute left. First touchdown was the Rev doesn't run anymore. The Legs bookies are in attendance, so Falco pulls the fake field goal and runs it in, but there's a fucking penalty on the play.
Because the fucking sumo wrestler is
It's coming back. So Shane calls for a deep pass to the replacement's deaf tight end. Brian Murphy hits him with the game-winning touchdown pass as time expires, beating Dallas, fucking pussies, 20-17, and earning the Sentinels a playoff berth. O'Neal is shouting, "I knew you could do it." But no, he fucking didn't, lion ass. McGinty narrates the players left the field with nothing but this satisfaction and personal glory of living with the athlete's dream of a second chance as the replacements dance on the field to "I Will Survive." Gross. Why was this the best sports movie? Four words.
Football.
Strippers. Heart. Keanu. Hackman. And that's what I leave you with.
Awesome.
Allie, do you pass this movie now?
No, I don't.
Now that we've talked about it?
No, I don't.
Well, that's bullshit.
You started with her.
I don't like this movie.
Well, like a Band-Aid.
I don't know if Allie's ever been this silent for an episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't like this movie. I think it's stupid. And I hate Jon Favreau's fucking face in this movie.
You need more heart.
Yeah.
You didn't even mention Jon Favreau, did you?
Thank you.
No, she mentioned him a little bit.
Ugh, so annoying. I fail it. The amount of people that know about Footsteps Falco or whatever the fuck his name is. Like I said,
Footsteps Falco?
I compare it to...
From the Sugar Bowl?
I compare it to the people who know Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. It's like, why is he a famous bouncer? Like, I don't understand what we're doing here. And this guy who lost one game, everyone knows who his name? No. So fail.
Thank you very much for your feedback, Allie.
You're
Tammy.
Welcome.
I love football, so I'm going to pass it. I don't think it was the best football movie that I have ever seen, but it was entertaining. I love the Welsh man.
So you don't feel like with this choice I didn't stick it to
you
anyway.
I don't think Clifford Franklin needs to say his name 17 times. That's not cool. But it was entertaining and I liked it. I liked The Longest Yard better, I think. And I wish you would have listened to the New Heights episode with Keanu on it. I think you would have enjoyed it.
I didn't say I wouldn't, but thank you. Matt.
Oh, yeah, I definitely passed this movie.
Yeah, it was good.
Unlike Tammy, I think this is my favorite funny...
Really?
This is my favorite funny football movie. I can't even think of a serious movie that I like, football movie that I like more than this. But nah, it's got heart. It's got miles and miles of heart.
Sweet. All right.
Awesome.
You want to vote?
Yes, so I did stick it.
I did Major League.
I did A League of Their Own.
And the replacements.
Okay.
Do you need a paper?
I don't. I've created a table electronically on my telefono. And I will go first. Stick It 4, The Replacements 3, Major League 2, A League of Their Own 1.
I'm going to do Major League 1, A League of Their Own 2.
Oh, wait. Major League 1.
A League of Their Own 2, Stick It 3, and The Replacements 4.
All right, I'll go next. Number 4 is Stick It. Number 3 is A League of Their Own. Number 2 is The Replacements. Number 1, Major League.
Guido, last but not least.
4 Stick It. 3 Leagues of Their Own. 2 of the Major League. And 1 Replacement, please.
Carry the 1.
Do you need an abacus?
It is Major League.
Yay!
Congrats.
Congratulations.
It was Joe Boo.
You had my favorite drink, though. I enjoyed your invention vodka tonic.
Thank you.
You should have called it a limey. You said it had a lot of lime.
It does have a lot of lime in it. Once you figured out how to use the juicer or the citrus juicer,
then... Well, there weren't any instructions. Yeah.
So...
Allie, let's keep this going. What brings us next month? Quid pro quo.
Well, next month is Matt's birthday month.
All right. You were born?
He was.
I was.
So he gets to pick. He gets to pick the theme.
The last year of...
Oh, yeah, the last year of your 30s.
Our dirty 30s.
Okay.
So, Matt, would you like to say your theme month pick? Because you get to pick the theme.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Allie. After some long deliberation about this, like my current football team's quarterback, I went into a dark retreat.
You took ayahuasca?
I took a lot of ayahuasca.
Oh.
And I was thinking about what films I enjoy and what kind of stuff I just wanted to... Because, you know... As I've done several of these films before, and I just would like to share my love of this with you guys. So I would like for the theme month to be Foreign Language Movie Month.
Wonderful.
So instead of just picking a foreign movie, which you could, and it would be in English, but I'm like, nah, fuck that. It's got to be in a foreign language.
We want to read.
Yeah. I would have to read.
You have to read. Okay. I mean, you know, you read... Or you listen to audiobooks and read. So.
I don't read.
She doesn't.
She listens.
Which is not. It's not reading.
I can read.
That's good. All right. Well, my pick for Foreign Movie Month came out in 2003. It was directed by Alexander Aya. And it stars Ma Wen and Cécile de France. It is a French movie. And it's called High Tension.
High Tension.
Or Haute Tension.
Haute Tension. Oh.
And you can watch it on Shudder. So if you have Shudder, it's cool. Available.
It's on Tubi, too.
Oh, is it on Tubi?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
How do you say that in French?
Tubi.
Ooh.
Tubi?
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 It's probably just Tube.
Or not Tubi.
Tubi or not Tubi.
We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month via our website or social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next month, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.